I would like to ask you, if you do have your Bible, would you join me in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, right around the middle of your Bible there somewhere, Psalms, Proverbs. And before we, I'll give you a second to find your spot, Proverbs chapter 19. And then if you would join me in making this confession together. Y'all don't get tired of this, do you? Y'all get tired of making the confession?
Bring it on.
All right. Okay. Thank God. That's a blessing. All right. Well, would you join me? Let's make this confession to God. I know you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Proverbs 19, one verse or even part of a verse really like to center on this morning and go with this theme. It's verse 23, Proverbs 19, 23. It simply starts off, the fear of the Lord leads to life. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Would you say that with me? The fear of the Lord leads to life. And that's the message this morning. That's really what I want to center in on in these moments that we have. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Last week, I said, I don't believe I'm exaggerating to say, I really believe the fear of the Lord is one of the most important topics in all of God's word. And yet in our day, I'm not saying this to be critical, it's just an honest evaluation. I believe it's also one of the most neglected topics in our day, in our culture, is the fear of the Lord. So what is this life that the fear of the Lord leads us to? And then what is the fear of the Lord and how do we live it out? First, life is ultimately eternal. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Now, yes, the Lord ultimately, he gives physical life, but he is the giver of spiritual and eternal and unending life. And thank God, God created us to be with him, to be like him, and to live forever. Sin, however, separated us from God because he is holy. And that separation from God is called spiritual death. So sin separated us from God and condemned us to death, not only spiritually, but physically as well and eternally. But God loved us so much that Jesus came. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his one and only unique son, to die on the cross. Jesus suffered and died on the cross to pay for all of those sins that we have committed and ever will commit. We can't even comprehend that. Please think about that a moment. There are about 8 billion people just on planet Earth today. But can you imagine from Adam and Eve until this day or until whenever the Lord returns, everyone's sin crushing his soul on the cross that day. He paid that price. But thank God he came back to life as victor and conqueror. And he offers eternal life to everyone who will simply believe the testimony of God's word that we've all sinned. I'm separated from God, but I believe Jesus paid for my sin. He died, he conquered death, and I believe in Jesus as Lord. It doesn't matter if you're 4 or 104, and you begin a new life, and we receive that eternal life, and then his Holy Spirit helps us to live it out. So the fear of the Lord leads to life, but what is fear? Because typically we think of fear as negative. And in fact, hundreds of times in the Bible, the scripture tells us, fear not, do not be afraid. So there's a different type of fear. Here's a little simple definition. It can mean to be afraid. So fear can mean to be afraid. But it can also mean to be in awe. Like we are just, man, God is awesome. I remember Sister Gibson years ago over at one Sunday, I joined them over at the nursing home when they were having a little service for the residents, and they were singing that song, Awesome, you know, that little chorus. And she said, it stood out to me that day because I started to do that too from years back when I heard it. She said, I've started to use the word awesome only for God now. Now, it's not wrong to use it. You can say, man, that team is awesome, or whatever. This weather is awesome. That's fine. But I like what she said. She was reserving that one for God. He is awesome, and he deserves to be reverenced. That's the fear of God. See, the fear of the Lord does not lead us away from God. The fear of the Lord, the proper fear of God, draws us to this Holy One who yet loved us enough to give himself for us. So it draws us to him in absolute, you are awesome, reverence, magnificent. I cannot stand in this mortal body in his holy presence, but he gives me his Holy Spirit anyway. He's a good God. I'm in awe of him. That's the fear of the Lord. And see, that fear, that's what I emphasized last week, that the fear of the Lord will give us a proper view of God, because in our day, it seems like we have a tendency to bring him down to human level. God is in a class by himself. Let's keep him where he belongs. The fear of the Lord will give us a proper view of God, and then it will give us a proper response to God. I don't take him lightly. I come to him with great reverence and love and gratitude and awe because of who he is. The fear of the Lord leads to life. And it goes on in the rest of that verse, and it says this, chapter 19, verse 23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He who has it, see, if we're right with the Lord, and we're growing in Christ, it gives us a sense of inner satisfaction. There's something that brings a sense of peace and satisfaction and contentment within that this world cannot offer. One of the choruses we sing says, I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. But you came along and put me back together. And he goes on and he says, now every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. So that's what the fear of the Lord will do to us and for us. And this morning, I want to share just two blessings, and there are certainly more, but if you want to write these down, two of the blessings, I'll say it this way, two of the life-giving blessings for us personally for developing the fear of the Lord. Because if we really want to know God, we want to get to know him better, we want to grow spiritually, and we want to receive the fullness of the blessings that God has for us, we must develop this fear of the Lord. Now, everyone on earth has a degree of blessing because there is a general blessing. If you're breathing, that's God's air. He gives to us life, breath, and all things. I'm not talking about general blessings. I'm talking about the best blessings, the rich blessings. Those are reserved for those who are in close fellowship with the Lord. So the fear of the Lord will bring us to God and keep us in close fellowship with him and help us to have victory. So here is the first blessing if you want to write it down. Two life-giving blessings for us personally are, first of all, wisdom. Wisdom. Would you say that with me? Wisdom. A few years ago, I had surgery on my shoulder here to remove a malignant melanoma. And thankfully, it was found in time. It didn't get into my lymph nodes or anything like that. And for 5 years, I went to the dermatologist every 6 months. And she does a head-to-toe inspection. Thankfully, I've been blessed with, I thank God for the doctors I've had over the years. And at the end of 5 years, she said, it's up to you. Some people are just more comfortable coming every 6 months. But she said, you can go to a year. So I said, I'll try that. I'll do a year. Well, let's see, tomorrow, I think it was 3 weeks ago, I went to her for my annual checkup, and I wasn't sure how long it had been. I was thinking maybe 7 or 8 years, and she said, 9 years. I've been clean. I've got a good report for 9 years now. And I'm thankful. And so she's going over me. She uses her, you know, the natural eye, but she has some little device that she looks through as well. Like she sees a mole or freckle or something. And so she's right up here, you know, up close, and she's checking me out. And she said, "Oh, I see you're getting wisdom spots." Now, how many of you know what I'm talking about? I laughed. I said, "That's a nice way to say it." Now, if all of you younger folk, if you don't know what I mean, just go ahead and thank the Lord right now. Just give him thanks and keep on going. But wisdom is not necessarily guaranteed by age or denied by age, because it is possible to be older and sadly foolish. It's possible to be younger and wise. The Bible tells us to seek and to value wisdom. Wisdom is not just knowledge. See, wisdom is skills for living. And it's possible that someone could have wisdom in mechanics. It's possible someone could have wisdom in computer. And that's fine. I believe that can still be God-given. But this is a wisdom that helps us live God's way. That's the wisdom of Scripture. That's what we're to seek. And that's what this verse says in Proverbs 9:10. I memorized this years ago. I won't look, but if y'all check me on the screen, make sure I'm getting it right, okay? It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So if we want, I'm talking about God, divine wisdom, then we got to go to God. And that's what the fear of the Lord does. You see, it's the fear of the Lord that brings us to the Lord in right relationship with Him, so that I have the starting point for wisdom. And then in getting to know Him, the knowledge of the Holy One gives me understanding. And let me just ask you this, and I would like to get your input on it this morning, okay? So maybe you can help me and give me a couple of ideas. What specific areas do we need divine wisdom on in our lives today? Just think, what specific areas, Rick? Financial wisdom. And again, it's possible someone could have a financial wisdom, so to speak, of the world. And I understand Jesus even said that. But if I can gain divine wisdom in finances, I'd rather have the divine wisdom. Any other area? What else? Okay. Relationships. And that's a broad, I mean, that could be in our friendships, right? The Bible tells us to choose our friends carefully, because the way of the wicked can lead us astray. Wisdom in our marriages, wisdom in parenting. Sean? Yeah, so that category of relationships, and then more specific, just, you know, from whether it's family, friends, whatever it may be, finances, any other area you can think of, David? Nutrition. Okay, in our health, that's a good area right there. Nutrition, we need wisdom. That's the Holy Spirit could be our counselor. Now, we can learn from others, but if we get it from the Lord, then we have His Spirit and grace to help us live it out. All right, thank you. Anyone else? Maybe, okay, Pam?
Choosing a profession.
Okay, in seeking like a career, or what should I do with my life, we need that divine wisdom and guidance. What about our trials? Think we could go through, isn't that what James says, James chapter 1? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials and testing, knowing that this testing of your faith produces something good. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So we come before Him because we know that He is the source. And the Bible contrasts wisdom with foolishness, especially in the book of Proverbs, but it also contrasts earthly wisdom with heavenly wisdom, the wisdom that's from above. Would you, if you want to write this verse down, let me read it to you. It's James chapter 3, or verses, James chapter 3, verses 15 and 17. James 3, 15 and 17. I'm just reminded, you were talking about relationships and marriage. One translation of a proverb says that it takes wisdom to make a godly family, and it takes understanding to be strong. So James chapter 3, verse 15 says, this wisdom, speaking about the earthly wisdom, does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual. That means it's not of God's Holy Spirit, and even demonic. That just stands out to me. There is a wisdom from demons. Isn't that something? You see what I'm saying about the contrast, though? Verse 16, this is that type of wisdom, where there's envy and self-seeking, then there's confusion in every evil thing. See, we can have an earthly wisdom, but if it produces envy and self-seeking and confusion, what have we really gained? That's why the Bible says we're to value and seek wisdom more than money. Because again, what good is money if we don't know how to use it properly? Then it goes on. This is what the wisdom from above is like, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. It's gentle, willing to yield. The wisdom from God, divine wisdom, is full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's a great, what a contrast. So that'll help us to know. You know, Ron, you talked about him, you know, passing recently. And a few weeks ago, he came to me and he gave me this book. He had just read it. It's a book, for those of you listening, it's called The Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. And his brother shared with Kim and me at the funeral service on Tuesday of how he had taken this and he had applied it, and he had really, I know it blessed him because he told me. And he gave this, he said, if you want to pass this on, maybe somebody else, check it out. And some friends of Brittany's, she met in their small group, went through his little course, and they actually appeared on his show. She showed me a little clip, I think it was the other night, and they were $100,000 in debt, student debt. And they went through this, and they really attacked it. I mean, they came on the same page, and they worked at it. And I don't know if she was literally saying this or not, or was she joking? She said, we can, you know, we lived in a little small apartment. She said, I can vacuum the whole apartment from one outlet. So either that's a little small apartment and just little things where they save money, even drying clothes, instead of putting $1.50 in the machine, if that's what it had to do. And they said, we'll wait on these clothes 2 days, you know, let them dry out. But in 29 months, they are debt-free. See what I'm saying about the earthly wisdom and the divine wisdom? Because you need some divine help to go through that and to pay that off in that kind of time. That's why the Bible says I love this prayer. I pray it for you often. I pray it for myself in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. If you want to just write it down, let me read it to you. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says this. It says that for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now notice how it goes on from there, talking about skills for living, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Because again, that's the knowledge of God is understanding. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Why? For all patience, perseverance, and long-suffering with joy. See, the fear of the Lord leads to what? Wisdom. And what else? What is the verse? The fear of the Lord leads to life. And he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He'll not be visited. That word can literally mean charged with evil. The fear of the Lord leads to life. It brings satisfaction within. And it protects us from evil. That's the fear of the Lord. Solomon prayed. How would you like this? God appeared to Solomon after he became king. And he appeared to him in a dream and he said, ask whatever you want, I'll give it to you. How would you like that? Blank check. You don't need to say anything, but what would you ask for? If God appeared to you tonight in a dream and said, if you can ask one request, I'll give it to you, just tell me what you want. Solomon did, but here's what Solomon prayed. Let me read it to you if you want to write it down. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. It says, "The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom, because Solomon asked for a wise and understanding heart so that he could discern between good and evil and govern God's people well." That's a great request for any leader, isn't it? It's a great request for any of us. Lord, give me a wise and understanding heart so I can discern between good and evil. And he goes on, and so God replied in verse 11, "Because you've asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I'll give you what you asked for. I'm going to give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has had or ever will have." And Solomon had a chance to demonstrate that wisdom in that same chapter of chapter 3. I'll just tell you for sake of time, and I'll give you this second blessing. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Would you say that with me? The fear of the Lord leads to life, and there are blessings of wisdom. And two prostitutes came to Solomon, each of them holding little infants. One baby was dead, one was alive. And the first mom went to Solomon and said, "I gave birth to my son, and 3 days later, she gave birth to her son, and we live in the same house. And no one else was in the house. And one night, I woke up, and I looked, and my son was dead. And then in the morning light, I could see, and it wasn't my son, it was her son. And what happened is, she had rolled over on her baby during the night, and he died. And before I woke up, she switched babies." And the second mom said, "No, this child is mine, the living child is mine, and the dead child is hers." And the first mom said, "No, the living child is mine, and the dead child is..." And he said, "All right, y'all are going back and forth, back and forth. One saying this is my child is a living one, hers is a dead one." Now, they didn't have DNA testing. So what are you going to do? He said, "All right, go get a sword." So they bring in a sword. And he tells one of the men there, "Cut that living baby in half and give half to each mom." And the first mom said, "Don't give her the baby." And the second mom said, "Go ahead and divide him. Neither one of us will get him." Solomon said, "Give the living baby to the first mom. She's his true mother." See, God gave him wisdom to be able to face that. That's, you see what I'm talking about? That's a divine wisdom. And because Solomon at that time embraced the fear of the Lord, he had that wisdom to be able to live it out. So the fear of the Lord leads to life. First blessing, wisdom, and then the second one is wellness. Wisdom and wellness. Wellness and wisdom are blessings and virtues that we can grow in. And wellness I'm speaking of is within and in our bodies. It can apply to every area, spirit, soul, and body. Let me ask you this. How many of you believe Jesus experienced wellness in his spirit, in his soul, which is his mind, his emotions, his heart, desires, and in his body? Do you believe Jesus had that kind of inner wellness when he was here on earth in his physical body? All right, then let me ask you this. Once again, I'd like to get your input on it. What characterizes this inner wellness especially? I'd like to focus on that a minute. What does inner wellness look like? What do you think? What do you think Jesus had within that would say this was a testimony of his wellness on the inside? Wellness can mean wholeness, all right? Anyone? Peace, okay? So if experiencing a wellness in our soul, in our heart, our mind, our emotions, that can give us peace, right? That's a sign, that's a mark of wellness. Rick? Okay, so wellness that he experienced of not only peace but unconditional love. He knew he was walking in that from his Father. But do you see how but we can too. Can we experience peace? Can we experience unconditional love? And then because we can't give what we don't have, so then we can offer it to others. Anyone else? Anything? What else, Don? Yes, okay, so there was a trust. He had inner wellness looks trusting. He trusted his Father, even all the way to the cross, that he could trust him in that through difficult situations. All right, anyone else? Humility. One more thing. Okay, humility is a characteristic of I'm okay. I'm okay with I don't have to be impressive. I don't have to, you know, it's all right. All right, humility, yes. What do you think? Okay, kindness. All right, that's good. Kindness. All right, within. That's inner wellness. And see, the fear of. Okay, Sean, one more.
Relationship with his Father.
Okay, just in having that the good in good relationship with God. So that inner wellness then is something that we can all have and grow in. If you say, I want to grow in peace, or I want to grow in, again, whatever it might be. We got to stay close to the Lord. That's where it all comes out of staying close fellowship with the Lord. Let me give you this scripture reference here. I don't know if you're still in Proverbs or not. Let me turn. I'll give you one in Psalms, and then we'll read the one in Proverbs. The Bible says this in Psalms 128, 1 and 2, if you want to write it down. Psalms 128, 1 and 2. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy. And notice this, shall be what? It shall be well with you. That's wellness. So wisdom and wellness that come from the fear of the Lord. And then Proverbs 14, 27, we read these words. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 27 says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Some translations say it's a life giving fountain. And see, if we experience wellness, now, I don't want anyone to feel condemned because you have a sickness or you're battling something in your body. That doesn't mean you're out of fellowship with the Lord. But if we grow in that inner wellness, wellness in our emotions, wellness in our mind and memories, just as we've heard, that inner wellness can have a health-giving effect in our bodies. What does another proverb say? A merry heart does good like medicine. A merry heart does good like medicine. And then if you want to write this scripture reference down, it's in 3 John. 3 John is just one chapter, and verse 2 says this. I'll read it to you. You can see it on the screen. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. I'm sorry, 3 John, only one chapter. Verse 2 says, beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health. Notice, as it goes well with your soul. Do you see how they're related there? The wellness of the soul can bring prosperity and wellness into our physical bodies. He goes on in verse 3, and he says, for I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. The fear of the Lord keeps us in right relationship with the Lord, and it helps us to live out that truth. We need the proper view of God to help us live by truth. And when we do, that's how we can grow in wisdom and we can grow in wellness. Because sin, eventually, I know it's appealing, that's the temptation. But eventually, sin is always destructive and deadly in the end. It's always destructive and deadly in the end. James tells us that. He says when sin is full grown, it gives birth to death. And sometimes we just haven't seen it full grown yet. And if it's not full grown and we're in sin, it's time to repent. It's time to fear the Lord enough to turn from that and turn to the Lord. I want to close with this last reference. The fear of the Lord leads to life. He who has abided will has it will abide in satisfaction, not be visited or charged with evil. Wisdom and wellness. Last week, I closed with the testimony of Scripture about how a woman who had chronic bleeding for 12 years pressed her way through the crowd to get to Jesus. And I thought about it actually after the service last week, and I knew that she didn't just come up with that off the top of her head. But what would have made her say, if I can touch his clothes, I'll be made well? Because when she did, remember what Jesus said? He said, who touched me? And everybody was crowding around on him. And he said, no, someone touched me in faith because I felt power go out of me. And when she touched him in that faith, even after 12 years of suffering, spending all her money on the doctor, she did what she could, but didn't get any better. She grew worse, but she felt it in her body that she was healed. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, there was a prophecy written 400 years before Jesus was born. And I'll give it to you in just a moment. But she kept telling herself, if I can just touch his clothes, the hem of his garment, if I can touch that prayer shawl, if I can touch just his robe, I'll be healed. And she did. And when he finally came to her, she came down fearing and trembling. She had the fear of the Lord, but it was in a right way. And she came down, he said, daughter, your faith in me has made you well. Now go in peace and be healed of your affliction. No condemnation, love. New beginning, healing. But see, she pressed through. And see, that's what I'm really wanting this morning is I want to encourage you, challenge you, that we've got to press through if we're going to walk in the fear of the Lord, because every blessing ultimately flows out of our walk with the Lord. That's why I started that service, to just stay in close fellowship with the Lord, and then in close fellowship with him, we can grow in wisdom, wellness, and every other blessing he provided for us through his cross and in the resurrection. But that means sometimes we got to press through doubt, just like she had to press through the crowd, because doubt and lies and condemnation are all going to come up from the evil one, and we just have to keep pressing through. No, I know who I need. I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep going. He's awesome. I know where to look to have my need met. We have a lot of distractions in our day, don't we? And sometimes maybe we need to just, in fact, I put two articles on the table yesterday. One of them talks about, you know, just the influence of media. It's not all about bad about media, but a couple of new articles if you want to check them out. But we have so many distractions, and some of them can be good things, but if they're keeping me from time with the Lord, it's not the right thing. At that moment, let's prioritize God enough to give him some time. And maybe we just need to press through the distractions and press through the doubts to be able to get with him. And then out of fellowship with him, we have grace to face what we face in this life, because you probably lived long enough. And if you haven't, you will, I hope, to realize life happens and we never know what a day will hold. But we know who holds that day. And if we're in close fellowship with him, we can have the grace to be able to face it. It's the fear of the Lord that leads to that kind of life. Life with the Lord. So pressing through. But see, she based that on God's word. I'm asking this morning, will you believe God's word? And will you press through? And will you receive what God has for you? Here is the scripture, the prophecy that was written that I believe cause her, because it talks about in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 1, the day of the Lord comes like a fire, like an oven, burning up the wicked like stubble. But verse 2 says, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. That word can also mean the hem or border of your garment. So do you see, she wasn't just arbitrarily saying, oh, I can just touch his clothes. She had a 400-year-old prophecy, and she said, I believe he's the one. And the fear of the Lord, the right view of him, is going to bring me to him. And if I can just touch the hem of his garment, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings, and you will go free, leaping with joy like calves let out to the pasture. Amen. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Would you say that with me? The fear of the Lord leads to life. I'm simply asking this morning, will you prioritize God enough to give him some time and get to know him? He's your father. He loves you. He wants you close to him. If there's anyone today and you say, I don't even know God, you can begin today. Simply acknowledge your need and call on Jesus to save you. Believe that he is Lord in your heart. It's not just your head. You got to believe with your heart and begin walking with him from this day forward. Thank God for his goodness and thank God for his blessings. Can we stand this morning as we close in prayer?